Hi, guys. Glad we got your message. You'll be interested to hear it was broadcast live all over Earth in prime time. Got good reviews in the trades. The time lag on these messages is getting longer. We gather from the 10-year delay that you are approximately 18 parsecs away. Drop us a line more often, okay? Sorry to hear about the radiation leak on the ship. And real sorry to hear about the death of Commander Powell. There was a week of mourning here on Earth. The flags were at half-mast. We're all behind you guys. About your request for radiation shielding, sorry to report this request has been denied. I hate to send bad news when you guys are up there doing such a swell job, but I think you'll take it in the proper spirit. There have been some cutbacks in Congress, and right now, considering the distance, we just can't afford to send a cargo shuttle out there to you. But I know you guys will make do. Keep up the good work, men.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen and shortwave fans, and welcome to the UBB 76 and Number Stations podcast. This is episode 7. I'm Web Weasel, your host, and as ever, I have my usual guest hosts, Danix111. Say hi, Danix.
Hello.
And Bowen.
Aloha.
We also have Trojan with us tonight.
Hello.
Unfortunately, 4D won't be joining us. As occasionally there are differences, and for now, 4D has decided to take a hiatus from the group. We're hoping he'll return soon. Okay, we've got another packed long show for you, as always. We've been working really hard on the website, as you probably noticed if you're visitors of freeon.org. Been a lot of changes we're going to tell you about. What else we got? Lost my place in the script. Okay, Danix has received a really prestigious invitation. We're all very proud of him, so he'll tell you about that. The buzz has been exceptionally quiet for the last month or so, but still a few messages and a few interesting things to talk about. Tucana and I have been hunting SO6S and caught lots of messages from that. The loggings on Priam have gone up massively due to activity in the group. SO6 seems to have a new agent, or something going on, perhaps. Avar, here's a message from the Squeaky Wheel. A few other station oddities and mistakes we've heard out there. The return of our number stations code, which we apologise for not splitting in the show last month, but we'd already reached an hour by the time I'd done the final mixdown, decided that an hour was long enough for a podcast, and to include the number stations competition for your QSL card would have extended it a little bit too much. It's back this episode. My SDR feed that's available on the site and when you can hear it. And Danix tells us about the Polish military and civil and air defence station that he's managed to catch up recently. Okay, Bowen, you wanted to start it off by telling us about improvements on the site, didn't you?
Yeah, well, basically this month we have got a lot of stuff done. We've got the improved schedule up and running. We've got the basis finally laid down for the database after, well, months of work now, isn't it, Webby?
Yeah, I'm going to have a rant about that in a second.
Fair enough. We've had, you know, general problems, as you do with ASP.NET, but we get there eventually, despite Webby's weird love of it. what else have we done? Oh, I've got a big announcement to make in a moment. I think I'll announce that a bit later on in the show, though. To keep up the suspense, you know. What else has been going on with the website? Well, we've had more regular loggings of UVB, obviously, which have been put up on the S28 page.
Yep.
Under 2011 activity.
Well, over the last month, the whole group has become so much more active. We've had a few new members join and sign up for the website, which has been fantastic. And as always, anyone listening to the podcast, if you want to get involved, if you're logging messages, if you want to get in and start uploading to free on site and logging your messages there, please join us and let us know. This is a community-based system, community-based site. We want as many members as possible, so come along, get involved. But yeah, as a result, the logins we put on the site over the last month have been phenomenal. We've probably logged more messages and more stations in the last 4 weeks than we had done in total in the last 6 months. So the group has become that active. So I'm incredibly proud of you all. You're all doing a brilliant job. Danix, you're out there getting stations every day. You are the master. Really proud of you. Tukan has been really obsessively getting as many stations as he can, and we're very pleased with his great work. I've set up remote desktop home from work, so I can log into my home PC and set up recordings when stations are on, which is fantastic. A lot of work's been going on to the website as well, as Bo mentioned. We started with a site upgrade to our CMS so we could use IronPython, because we were going down the route of developing MySQL database with an IronPython front end, hopefully running the Storm framework to access the database. Because we've got a number of members of the team who are either IT consultants or programmers themselves, or have a hobby interest and are exceptionally good at programming, the guy doing our database is phenomenal, considering he doesn't even work in IT and does it in his spare time. I've never met a better programmer. So we've been battling with trying to get the Storm framework, which is basically a Linux implementation, up and running on .NET. It hasn't been going well, and we've had to more or less give up Storm. It's been very frustrating because we had a great implementation for it. So what we're going to do instead is set up a separate server with a nice web-serviced API front end, so our Linux guy can write amazing scripts on the database, so you're going to have all kinds of great information on the website about analysis of the setup and systems of the number stations, every bit of information we can get.
Oh, Webby, sorry to cut you up there, man.
Sorry.
Oh, actually, to talk about when we were talking about the website, the part you added the other day to show the last 5 updated pages on each kind of subpage. So, like, if you was to go onto the English page for the stations,
yep,
it would show you the 5 last updated, so you can catch the 5 last messages quite easily.
Yep, that's a feature I've added to the site where we can. Any page on the site that has subpages, child pages that are linked to, it will list the last 5 updates with their times and dates, so you can have an idea of the activity on the site. One of the things we realised was the site's design is quite static, and unless we put something on the front page or on the blog to let you guys know that we've put an update somewhere, you're not going to have a clue unless you check half a dozen subpages of active stations. So there's been a lot of general usability of the site improvements. So we put stuff like there's an active stations list, so instead of looking through the several hundred stations, the majority of which are inactive, you're able to browse through the active stations page and actually have a look at the ones that we know are currently active. Okay, so if you go to any page in the site, it will list the sub 5 pages of that page that have been updated recently, so you can have an idea of what's been updated on the site and where. We have the active stations list, so you've got a narrowed down section that lets you allows you to know which pages have been updated and which stations are active, as well as all the previous stations listing, which are there for historical purposes. One of the goals of the site is as much of the historical information of number stations as we can get, so that research can head back in time and look at previous data instead of what we've got from now onwards. So we've got much more to analyse, much more interesting stuff for you guys to read. But of course, clicking around the site, lots of static content. You don't know when it's been updated. It's a bit difficult to know, except for the few stations we've mentioned, like the Buzzer and EO6, which you know we're regularly updating. Okay, so yeah, site improvements have gone well. Implementing Storm with IronPython has not gone so well. I'm going to take an alternative method, but the database is up and running. We're going to move on to an API implementation of it so that we can get access to it, and hopefully we're going to have our submissions page up soon. So if you've got a recording and a message, you can send it to the site and log it in our system, like the Spy Numbers database. Okay, what else have we done on the site, guys? That's all I can think of at the top of my head for now. But there's been a lot, actually. There's been subtle stuff, like Bone's got Lightbox working, haven't you, Bone?
Yay! Yeah, I have. Yeah, the Lightbox was a, needless to say, pain in the arse, because whoever decided to write Lightbox was terrible. So I ended up having to recode nearly all of it and make my own. I named it, so I can't remember what I named it now. It was Light something. But yeah, I had to pretty much recode all of it because it wouldn't work with wireframes.
Yeah, things are always a lot of fun, isn't it? Right. Okay, let's check the list. What else have we been up to? I think we should do Danix's announcement because we're all very proud of him for his achievement, aren't we?
See, now this is a bit of a surprise because I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'll see.
Okay. Danix, would you like to tell us about your special invitation?
I have got invited to Enigma 2000 via LNS from our IRC channel. It's a very interesting little group.
Yep, so congratulations to Danix. He is now a member of the prestigious Enigma 2000 group. Very well done. And yeah, thank you, Linus. You are the man. I think that deserves a round of applause for Danix, everybody, doesn't it? Guys? Applause for Danix. Yay! Well done, Danix.
Thanks.
That's a great achievement. You should be really proud of yourself. Okay, the Buzzer. Let me bring up the S28 page. Now, this is something I'm very pleased of. Every now and then, when I want to look up some information on number stations that I can't quite recall at the time off the top of my head, instead of having to dig through newsletters and searching on Google, I can now bring up freeom.org. When you use your own website to research information, you know you're onto a winner. Okay. What was the date of our last podcast, guys? Because that's when we need to go back to, don't we?
Must have been about a month ago now, let me check.
I think it was about 6 weeks. 5th of May, and it's the 17th of June, so the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, sounds about right.
In general, the Buzzer has been very, very quiet since the middle of May, isn't it, guys? Essentially, it started being quiet at the end of April. April the 29th was the last message in April. We didn't have another one until May the 5th. We were having problems with the online stream for a couple of days, so we may have missed one or two. And of course, for most of us, the Buzzer isn't audible in Europe, and most of us are Europe-based. It's only available if your radio is in Russia or very near, yeah, where the LADES stream is sent from, is not receiving the Buzzer at certain times during the day at the moment to propagation. So unless you're in Russia, you can't cover 24 hours a day. Either way, we had a message on May the 5th, which was the first one for that month. Then it was quiet to the 11th, where we have three in a row. Interestingly, the first message on May the 11th at 1 o'clock UTC, there was a mistake. Avar mentioned on the IRC that there was a mispronunciation. What a word to mispronunciate, eh? A mispronunciation.
The word would be mispronounce.
I've been drinking, leave me alone. Avar noticed a mispronunciation of the number 29. It should be the Vatsk, but it was pronounced the Vatsk. This is like saying twin nine. Or that was how he described it. So we'll play that message for you now.
Михаил, Дмитрий, Женя, Борис, Михаил, Дмитрий.
not being a native Russian speaker myself. Sorry, I'm laughing at Avar giving me a shocked face in the IRC at my pronunciation of Russian numbers really badly. Trojan, what's 29 in Russian, please? Could you tell us?
29. But here is some reduction in the south part of Russia. It can be pronounced like Vatsdivits. So it such mispronunciation here too.
I see. So the guy who was reading the message might have actually been from a certain region where the word 29 is pronounced differently, and he pronounced it in his dialect, as it were.
By the way, Vatsdivits in the northern part of Russia will sound like Vatsdivats. So Ya will sound like Ya, not like Yeah. Something.
Of course, like any language, Russian has dialects and deviations. I mean, the UK is bad enough as it is. You can't go 100 miles in the UK without people having such different accents. You can barely understand what they're saying. As I'm sure XO6 Shadows, who's sitting in the channel right now, can attest to, spending all the time up in Scotland that he does. Okay. Right, so May the 11th we get 3 messages, May the 12th we get 2, first one early morning, not sure of the exact time, male voice but so faint as to be indiscernible, May the 13th a message, May the 17th a message, on May the 17th they made a mistake, we'll play that message for you now. So that mistake, if you didn't notice it yourself, if you're not completely familiar with the Russian words, the first time the word was Alkeran, A-L-K-E-R-A-N, and on the second reading, it was Alkarag, A-L-A-E-R-A-G. So interesting. We've noticed there have been several mispronunciations or mistaken words in the past. I can think of 3 examples in the last year of listening to S28, user ZB, where they've missed. They've read the message and the word has been different on the repeat, but the numbers have been the same. Obviously a mistake each time. Very interesting that whenever this has happened, they've never corrected the message, except in the example we played last, where you hear someone shout at the male reader in the background, and he reads it again, correcting himself. It was really quite funny to hear that one live. Okay, again, really quiet on the buzzer. From May the 19th to May the 31st, we don't hear a single thing. Single message on May the 31st, and then nothing till June the 7th, one on June the 8th, and one on the 15th. Overall, activity on the buzzer has dropped through the floor in the last month. Why? We have no idea. Maybe the buzzer was simply there or simply being used to train a few individuals and they've moved on, and only the male voiced guy we've nicknamed Dimitri is still there because he's crap and keeps making mistakes. Maybe it's response to political events, maybe there's been a change in the military, we have no idea. But in the last month we've not had any particularly busy days of 7 or 8 messages. The alternate call signs we've heard have not been broadcast. And most of the time, we have only had male voice broadcasts. In fact, skipping through the list here, It seems we've not heard Olga since the 27th, although I've got a feeling during the 15th one we did hear Olga again, but that was the first time since April the 27th when we last heard her. So, interesting. What's happened to the buzzer? Why has it gone so quiet? We don't know. It's been more reliable the last month. There have been very few buzzer breakdowns. In fact, I'm pretty sure there have only been two since the last podcast in the first couple of days after the release of the podcast in early May. And since then, we have not heard a single buzzer failure. And checking the archives, I've not seen one either.
Well, could it possibly be the fact that they've switched to either the lower power generator or the lower power transmitter, sorry, or possibly replaced the higher power generator with a new, more reliable one, but possibly slightly less powerful?
It's entirely possible, but...
Or, as Linus said, they're on vacation.
But the buzzer failures I was thinking was when you hit the example we played in the last podcast where it winds down. You hear it slow down and then stop, which is the buzzer itself failing, but the transmitter still broadcasting.
This is true. Fair point.
So, yeah. Even though we know they've been working on the transmitter from the changes over the last couple of months and the switch to the quiet and loud transmitters, we can't be sure. And, yeah. It's a hot topic whether we've actually got two broadcast sites as well, in general, considering the next topic to bring up, which is the blog post Trojan made a few days back showing some more triangulation results of where the buzzer is. And it looks like it's right on the Estonian border near a town called Pskov, although I'm sure Russian Trojan will pronounce that completely differently. Trojan, can you tell us what the town's called where the buzzer's located? The one near the...
So, Jan Mihelski sent me a message with a map. In that map, you can see the lines crossed around 5th kilometers around Pskov. So it can be in... the village where is located one of the military net on or maybe the center where the studying people who can be so there can be the school for the new intelligence member who will broadcast messages on other stations not known for us.
Yeah, of course, it's always a possibility.
By the way, around a month ago, Jan sent me a message with the recording of the first known buzzers.
Yeah.
Transmission, boom. So it seems like man who read this was really tired because he read zero number, like null. So it can be the first study intelligence. Member.
It could be if the message is being broadcasted to members of the espionage department.
Yep, but Jan said that messages was broadcasted regularly, so it wasn't first broadcasting on ULB. But I don't know why. We don't know about the earlier messages, from example, 1995 or 1996. Maybe they broadcasted it in encrypted, maybe. Because there is no information about earlier broadcasts. I found information that just buzzed for since time where buzzer was found.
Yeah, that's the current knowledge, isn't it? Is that since a disputed early date, either 1979 or 1982, and some mentions of 1984, it being first heard, and then no known broadcast until 97. But it seems, as you said, from the first code numbers used, that there would have been earlier broadcasts to that call sign somewhere, based on the incrementing of the numbers, which sort of suggests that the messages were being broadcast either by another transmitter or another means before UVB was first heard, or possibly that it had broadcast earlier messages that had just not been noted by shortwave listeners at the time. But yeah, I have to say thank you very much, Trojan. That was great work getting in contact and getting those triangulation results, which tie in interestingly with the few triangulation results that were sent to Lade's attempt to triangulate the buzzer, and more or less correlate with the area that it was indicated on his map, although it should be pointed out that most of the results that were sent into Lade were for much more distant sites, and of course the accuracy of radio triangulation drops off proportionally with the distance you are away from the source. Therefore, the further you are away, the more inaccurate your bearing will be. So the fact that we've got quite a number of very close bearings that are lining up over the Poskov area, it would suggest that this little town, village next to the Estonian border, is quite probably one of the transmitter sites of the buzzer. But we're still considering the fact that there are two buzzer sites, which would explain the differences in volume heard with the loud and quiet buzzer we've played in previous podcasts, and with the triangulation results that seem to have indicated that there are two potential sites where the buzzer is located, one being near Skrov itself and one being closer to St. Petersburg, more in the Novgorod area.
By the way, different sounds of the buzzes in double buzz broadcasts can be turning off a backup transmitter, which has a little different sound, and a regular transmitter with the usual buzzing sound.
Okay, so you're suggesting that the transmitters, because they're inherently different themselves, will broadcast a slightly different tone from the buzzer, and that would explain the tone difference that we hear. Okay, guys, I think that's about it for S28 for this podcast. Can anyone think of anything else that's happened that they'd like to mention about the buzzer?
Not me.
Okay, so what's next in the script?
SO6,
yes, that's right. Ah, yeah, that was a great one. Let me bring up the page so I have the messages in front of me. Once again, using my own website to look up information. How cool is that?
I think we must discuss the unscheduled transmission of EO6.
Yep, that was the message you caught. Okay, after we've done SO6, we'll do that.
Okay.
SO6 has been quite regular as always. Many messages sent this month, but many nulls as well. But interestingly, May the 19th, we hear a new message, which is rather unusual. SO6 tends to send quite short messages. On average, there'll be 15, 16, 17 groups or so. There won't usually be longer messages than that, and quite often as short as 5. In fact, most of the SO6 family, SO6 and SO6S, which we follow quite extensively, have very short messages from 5 to 20 groups. So it was rather a surprise when on May the 19th, I was monitoring the buzzer on my SDR, and because the SDRs cover 190 kHz bandwidth on a waterfall, and you can see other stations when they appear and disappear, I noticed a new broadcast that looked rather like a number station appear on 4586 kHz. This was at 10 to 8 UTC on Thursday, May the 19th. Now, interestingly, this had a peculiar ID of 125 and a key and group number of 00151. So a 51 group message, which is unusually long for SO6. We've never heard a message group longer than 17 groups before that point. So 51 was a real surprise. And a code key of 005. First time we heard it, sort of a coincidence. The fact that... Sorry, I'm mixing the two messages up. The first one we heard had the code key 001, and the second one we heard had the code key 005. So the increment between those two code keys in the messages and the length of them, and the unscheduled broadcast, which was not on any known schedule, leads us to believe that this broadcast I heard was the first broadcast of this particular message, perhaps to either a new agent in the field or to an agent who's been trained how to decode these messages. We received a second one on May the 26th, at the same time, on the same frequency, same ID. As say, the key was 005 and the group count was 51 again. So another exceptionally long message. Although this time we decided it seems like a regular schedule, as we heard it the same time, same frequency, in the same slot 2 weeks in a row. Since then, we've either been busy, not our keyboards, not our radios, and not had an opportunity to try it and look for it again. But particularly great to find a brand new ID of a known station on an unscheduled broadcast and find it's also a regular schedule as well, as the Enigma 2000 group have also noted this one, and there have been other messages that have been broadcast as well. Trojan,
yep.
Tell us about catching unscheduled EO6.
So, Kana wrote in IRC that we must check the frequency 10,212. So I checked it, and there was a message of of EO6, but we didn't find it in the schedules. Unfortunately, we didn't record it well. When I turned my radio on, already was the 35 group of 43, so we recorded only 8 groups from 43, but I think that's much better than nothing.
Of course.
And I think something goes wrong in EO6, because I think his sound was a bit different from usual transmissions. I don't know in which part, but I think it was.
Okay, but once again, the team is out there and we've caught another unscheduled or unknown schedule of a number station that has appeared more than once. So very pleased that we're out there and listening enough, so we're picking up stuff that's also being got by the other groups, I have to admit. E2K have picked up both of these. We've got a lot of great active members, but picking them up ourselves and getting them logged and getting them into our schedule. So, very pleased to be making some serious progress with the team's coverage. And once again, I've said it, I'll say it again. Really, really proud of all the Prion members who have come to us at the moment. They have done such a fantastic job logging stations over the last month, which is really what we wanted to achieve with the site. Takana and I have been doing a lot of SO6S hunting. SO6S is probably the most frequent broadcasting station now that E10 is offline. Looking at our schedule board, which is getting a bit out of date now, unfortunately Dominus has access, so we need to update our database and get it published. SO6S is probably the most common broadcasting station that still remains, and looking at the site, I've scrolled down 8 or 9 times before I reach the end of the logins just through May and June we've had for SO6S, because there's so many messages broadcasted. So go to prion.org /station/slavic/SO6S.ASPX, or just nav through the top bar of the site and you'll find it. And you can see all the messages this year. We'll play one or two now to give you an example of what SO6S sounds like. All through June and May, Takana and I and GW Rasp and Avar and a few others have been catching SO6S as many times as we can. There's been a few oddities for you this month. We've had, let's have a flick through. Yeah, we noticed that SO6S always sends a test about 3-4 minutes before the start of its broadcast. So if the broadcast is at 0610 UTC, at 0607 you'll hear the call up sign broadcast once to test the transmitter, and then the message will follow just afterwards. So do have a listen for that if you're out listening to the frequencies of SO6S. It's very common for it to do that. Also, we noticed on May the 25th they seem to be having trouble with the transmitter. The first couple of messages that day until midday had a loud background hum coming from the transmitter, and was visible on a waterfall on the USB side to be quite strong. It was broadcast at 0740 on the 25th, notably had the hum and the test transmission sent much later, as in only a few moments before the main transmitter. So it seemed that definitely on May 25th they're having transmitter problems. Apart from that, that returned on May the 27th for one message, and there have been quite a number of repeats of the same message, which seems that SO6S broadcast repeats a week and updates its message on a weekly basis currently. Squeaky Will, yeah. We had a message from the Squeaky Will, Avar, our Russian friend and active Creole member, managed to pick up a Squeaky Will message, which is a very rare occurrence. Let's play that for you now. Right, Bowen.
Yes.
Your special announcement.
Ah, my special announcement. See, yeah. half of me wants to keep it even further to build up more suspense. I'm not going to, though. Anyway, yeah, my big announcement, finally, as after months of planning it and beginning coding, it is now taking formation, so I feel kind of happy to announce it. I'm just building up more suspense here. It's probably not that important, but... Well, what has been happening is I've been coding an Android app for Preom. It will contain a stream of the UVB 7.6 stream, a record function, so that you can quickly record messages if they were to come over. There's lots more planned as well. Possibly, if I can work it out, possibly a constant connection to the IRC or to one of us, so that it has a VOS or BOF alert system.
Interesting.
It will have a schedule. As Lynn's just pointing out, yeah. Of course, once recorded, it'll have a time and whatnot and a date, so that recordings are always automatically accurate.
So it'll do pre-on format for files. Save it as S28, 4625 USB, date, time, from the start of the recording, etc. Nice.
Yeah, and where it would normally say message, it'll have the option of putting a comment, so it'll say either message, so you can type in message, oddity, whatever you want it to say. There's lots more being added to it as well. There's lots more ideas that I've been throwing around with people, and obviously if anyone has any ideas or anything to put into it, just catch up in the IRC and we'll see if we can work something out. As I say, it's nowhere even near alpha testing yet, but it's finished enough for me to say that it's going to work, so I'm happy to announce it.
Nice.
So yeah, that's not going to be something done tomorrow, but and Linus has said, wow, it's going to be free anyway, Linus. But yeah, as I say, it's not going to be done tomorrow, but it'll be fairly soonish. So there's lots of bugs and stuff going on as well, lots of things to figure out, and as well as, cause, I mean, I've got a lot of the basic coding down, and but other than that, I haven't actually got any of the design work down as well. So if anyone's got any ideas for it, feel free to email me, bowen@preom.org or whatever, or come on the IRC. Yeah, that was my announcement. Back to you, Webby.
Nice. Danix, would you like to tell us about your Polish military civil and air defence station you've heard?
Yes, on May 10, on 4470 kHz, I have got Polish military station sending encrypted message in progress as 5-letter groups. After all groups receiving station answered, unfortunately, it was uncopyable. Normally the station sends short training messages in format similar to buzzers, but without checksum and 1 4-figure group, which means the direction where the aircraft flies and its altitude.
Okay, nice. On the front page of the Preom site, as you've noticed, we've got the feed for the buzzer, so you can see the Ustream feed of the waterfall for the buzzer all the time, and there's the link to the feed as well. But also, there's the feed to the Ustream you're listening to right now, if you're listening to the live version of the podcast. And on this, you'll be able to hear any radio station I'm listening to when I'm actively listening to a station. So, considering I'm remoting in from work and tuning into and recording and broadcasting as many stations as I possibly can, if you're on Prion and there's a station broadcasting and I'm available, I will be broadcasting it if I can receive it. So get on the Ustream link that's on the front page and have a listen. If there's not station broadcasting, I'll be looking around and seeing what else there is. So have a listen. We'll broadcast as many stations as we possibly can, which is the intention of Prion, in order to have a front page where you can click on a dozen streams, and each one of them is broadcasting whatever is available out there that's interesting to listen to. So yeah, we're getting there. There's an SDR sitting here, right next to me, that's broadcasting what was the G station we had a moment ago, unfortunately very quietly for me, and it's available for Prion use. If I'm not using it, the SDR IQ is available on the SDR radio network, and you'll be able to log into it yourself and click around and listen to anything you want that's receivable at MyQTH. Okay guys, that's everything I've got in the script. Has anyone got anything else they'd like to talk about today?
Yeah, there was that odd unID'd broadcast that, well, I don't actually know how to pronounce his name, Grasp? Sorry, anyway, back to what I was saying. GW Rasp, anyway. Yeah, he picked up a unidentified broadcast of Russian numbers the other day. I can't remember exactly what the frequency was or anything, but we've got a recording of it. Yeah, it was very, very similar to a recording on the TCP, the current project. And I just thought that was worth mentioning is all.
Okay, Trojan, you had something you wanted to mention. Yeah, I think that's it, guys. The buzz has been really quiet, but, you know, we've covered what we've caught. We've got the new ID for EO6, SS6S loads of messages, sorry, new ID for SO6, our regular EO6 catches, SO6S that I've done, Danik's getting into E2K, which is fantastic. UVB's location map, which has been updated. Did we talk about UZB after Bromwell? We didn't, did we? Ah, Trojan remembered. What was it, Trojan? Tell us.
Introduction of Videosalon.
Introduction of
Videosalon.
Ah. Yes, of course. Tell us.
Of what, sorry?
The Video Salon. Tell us about it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Trojan, tell us.
So, I created the special channel on YouTube where you and me can post videos taken from our receivers and post the waterfalls of the recordings of them. I think it's a good idea to watch how it looks on a waterfall and in this time here and what is happened, because we can hear and see not only messages, but and transmitter problems such as sidebands going a bit stronger or maybe a bit weaker. I think it was a good idea. So now we have the 7 recordings of the number stations. There are EO6, SO6S, SO6, and some others. And of course, there is unscheduled transmission of EO6. And we have three videos in others playlist. One of them is my Dixon in countryside. When I was in Astrakhan region, I took my radio with me, and I tried to catch some station on it, and it was amazing. No static noise, no QRM, just clear signal. I got even a buzz in daytime around 1 a.m. Local time. It's impossible to get a buzz of something on such low frag here in the apartment, even on balcony, even with wire. There is so heavy crane.
Yeah, any urban location, you're going to get so much noise from people's electronics and everywhere.
I think we have to move there in Astrakhan region. Because there is no houses in that place even. They're half broken. And now people live there.
Here's an interesting fact: the Prion video salon is 17th most subscribed reporter this week.
Yeah, that did freak me out. It says I'm not sure how to read this stat because I've not logged into the channel myself. But most subscribed group this week, group of people, how they class themselves, reporters. So the people subscribing to our YouTube channel were reporters, which is fantastic. But Trojan, you know, you realise you've now got the long and difficult task of uploading all the podcasts to the channel. Right, so we got the video channel up on YouTube. So, yep, we're going to have waterfall recordings so you can see what stations look like. And when we record oddities, such as strange broadcasts, things like XPA and so on, you can see what they look like visually on the waterfall. If you guys haven't tried using some SDR software yet, then having a look at what an SDR waterfall looks like, I really have to insist you must go to sdr-radio.com, download the free software, and try out the free online radios to listen to. You'll be converted instantly once you see how much ability it gives you to tune to stations, to see new stations appear and disappear, and just the sheer fantasticness of watching modulated audio transformed by a fast Fourier transformation calculation into a visual representation of it on your screen. Utterly fantastic. Get yourself...
Just a quick side note, we're not getting paid by SDR Radio to say this, though if you are from SDR Radio and you want to pay us, you know, go ahead.
Okay, something that's come to note in the last couple of days, we mentioned in the early episodes of our podcast that a reporter from Wired had got in contact with a few of us. And I'd asked a few questions and said he was doing an article and hopefully would be out in April. April came and went, no article, so who knows, we thought. Perhaps the editors decided they didn't want it. Perhaps the guy was just a fake. He got in contact in the last couple of days and we've checked out his website and it looks like he's a genuine reporter and said that the article will be published in the next couple of months. The editors decided to take it on. And has contacted a couple of members of the group, not myself, I'd already answered all his questions, with the original set of questions saying, please could you answer them just to fill out the final elements of the story. So hopefully, in the next couple of months, although we have said this before and it's not happened, we may be published in Wired Magazine. Now if we can get Prion.org published in Wired Magazine and bring the site to a huge readership's attention, fantastic. I imagine the site will buckle under the pressure because we haven't set up hosting for that kind of usage, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But
isn't it getting to the limit already?
Yeah, I have to admit, we're there, we're up a couple of months since February, and we're already getting to the point where you guys are using 30 gigabytes worth of traffic a month, which is unreal. I can't believe the impact that Preom's had. I'm really proud of the team, as I've said so many times in this podcast already, for the effort they're putting in. And if you're out there and listening and you're interested in getting involved, please drop on the IRC. It's on the front page. Drop in. Just say hi. Get involved. Get uploading recordings. We need people involved. The more people we've got out there listening and covering the frequencies, the more recordings we'll get. The more recordings we'll get, the more information we've got in our system. The more information we've got, the more analysis we can do, and the more interesting things we can find out about number stations. So get involved. Madnaf on the IRC says, can we donate to the server costs and stuff? To be honest, Madnaf, donations I'm not comfortable with. I don't have to set up any kind of charitable organisation to manage the site. What I intend to do is support it myself to the point where I decide it's costing me too much money and I don't want to spend money on it anymore. And then we will set up t-shirts, bumper stickers, that kind of thing. So you guys will be able to buy Preom.org t-shirts, which will get the site promoted, so fantastic, and we'll cover the site running costs. And that's exactly all it will be used for. Any money spent buying stuff for the site will go on to the site running costs and maintenance. No intention to make a profit. We set it up as a .org because we're a not-for-profit organisation. The whole point of the Preom ideology and philosophy is we want to be open, we want to give out information freely. We set up the site with a Creative Commons license because we feel that our information should be shared to the whole world. We want the whole world to know about our recordings, about the messages, about the analysis, and we want to get everyone involved in what's really going on behind the scenes of the real world that's presented to you through the media. We present it in a way that doesn't introduce politics or opinions, because it's not about our own personal ideologies or personal goals or personal politics to present you this information. We want to give an unbiased opinion on all the governments that are broadcasting with all their politics. It's not about what we believe, it's about the facts that are out there, the real world that's happening, that we want to show you. So get involved in Preom if you want. We'd love to have new members, we'd love to have new listeners.
So in short, no.
Go for it, Madnaf.
Madnaf, everybody. Nope, he's gone shy. Madnaf?
No, what?
What were you saying?
I said, in short, no.
No. Probably edit that out. No offense, Madnaf. You weren't really, like, introducing shit, but, you know, never mind.
No.
Anyway, on a separate note, as Trojan just said, whether you talk about the QSL page.
The QSL page? I didn't update it. Other people. Oh, yeah, Trojan updated it. Where is it? Let me see.
Professional Woody, everyone.
Oh, guys, actually, at this point, for everyone listening to the podcast, I'm going to leave this bit unedited. I have to admit, I'm sorry the podcast's late, because we're 6 weeks in since the last one. We were due, like, almost 2-3 weeks ago. I'm a busy guy. I've got a full-time job. I'm a single parent. I've got a couple of kids.
Partially my fault, too, as well, because everyone was ready last week, and I think I was fishing.
And I think you were, actually, yeah.
You know, it was just a case of, oh, I've got my new fishing membership, I'm going fishing for the night, come on. You know, we have a podcast to record. My bad.
And a podcast takes time and effort.
My God, does it? We've been doing this since, like, about 6 o'clock this morning. No. And then since, like, what, it must have been about 7 o'clock we started, wasn't it?
Something like that. It's 9:30 now.
Yeah, it's now 9:30. Man, I have to go.
A podcast takes time and effort, and I've only got so much time and so much effort I can invest. So
you've probably got more time than effort, though. Oh, sucks to be Webby.
Cheers.
No worries.
I just can't be bothered.
/ me high fives Webby.
Yeah, and sometimes it comes to it. It's Friday night. It's drink and forget about it. It's Friday night. Leave me alone. And it's like, no. We've got to do a podcast, and you've got to be all live on the internet and stuff.
Like, mind you, at least you're not as wrecked as last time. Like, it took you about 6 times to do the intro. I've got a recording of that somewhere. Should name and shame Webby with it on YouTube.
It's an outtakes podcast.
We should definitely collect all the outtakes.
Oh, we've been able to do that since the first podcast.
2-hour special.
Okay, so I'm sorry you don't get regular podcasts on time on a 2-weekly basis that we planned in the past. It's just too much like hard work, and I already do enough hard work. That's a podcast, everybody. We'll try and be on time next time. If you're on the live stream, thanks for joining us. It's great having you. It's great having everyone who listens to the podcast anyway. As always, we're shocked at the number of downloads. It's unbelievable how many of you actually listen and come back. Thank you so much for listening to us. I'm glad we do something that you consider worth listening to and come back and download time after time. So thank you very much if you're a loyal listener. If you're a new listener, I hope you've enjoyed it. If you've got this far, you probably have. But we'll see you on the shortwaves. So enjoy your radio listening. Join us on the IRC. Freeyarm.org is where it's at for the 21st century listening of radio. Radio's back. Radio's cool. Because we're making it cool. That's the podcast, guys. Say goodbye.
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 Farewell, Edges everybody.
Repeat.
End there.
As a troop information film, specially prepared to alert the American soldier against a hidden enemy, an enemy that can destroy morale, rob the soldier of the will to fight, even trick him into surrender. Enemy propaganda. Although this study of communist deception was made for a military audience, we think that you, the American public, will also find it pertinent and enlightening.
Иван, Елена, Ольга, Михаил.